Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Coming to you on Thursday evening. This will be serve as your Friday show. Got a busy day on Friday. We'll have got to go by and pick up my soccer credential as we begin the NCAA tournament. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later in the show. Get a chance to watch a little practice tomorrow. And then I will be at Maroon & Company from 2 to 5 signing books. If you're in town, come by and say hello. If you can't make it to town, you can order online from them or you can call in your personalization and then you know, have it shipped to you or go and pick it up when it's a convenient time. I know many of you very, very fond of that establishment. So 2 to 5. It's been a couple years since I've signed there. I guess back maybe 2022. Yeah, during baseball season for Dogpile. And so we make our return to Maroon & Company. Also on Saturday, if you are in the central Mississippi area, Mississippi State's not playing a game this weekend, come out to Lemuria Books. I'll be there from 1 till around 2. And I've got a hightail it back to cover that soccer game against Southern. So two book signings this weekend, and then there's a good chance I'll be downtown on Sunday from 11 to 3. We'll see how things go. But that's the tentative plan. So three opportunities to come out and see me and get signed books. Again, Maroon & Company on Friday, 2 to 5. Lemuria Books, 1 to 2 on Saturday. And then Sunday downtown at Book Martin Cafe, 11 to 3. So come out and be a part of that too. And listen, we're starting to get a lot of inquiries too. You know, the wife was on, I guess, WCBI this week. And really appreciate those fine folks having her on. And it was on Monday in honor of Veterans Day. And we allow current and former military to float for free every month on the 11th. All you got to do is call and schedule and let her know kind of your situation. And we'll get you going. Won't charge anything. Won't even ask for a credit card, nothing like that. We just want to support our active and former military because we believe that to those who provide a tremendous service, there should be some benefits from that. We have a lot of people come back, and they're not the same people. And so anything that we can do to bring some comfort to them, we want to do that. But a lot of people reaching out, and been a pretty busy week at the spa. And we got room for you, though. 662-268-7601. 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my lovely wife. She answers all your questions. She's a registered nurse, too, so she knows a lot about you know, healthcare, things of that nature. So if you got healthcare questions, you can ask her, you know. And if she doesn't have the answer, she'll get you an answer or she'll tell you what to ask your doctor. But, yeah, it's been a good run. And you need to come and be with us, too. Even if you don't have chronic pain or chronic anxiety, chances are you have some stressors in your life. And how great would it be to just kind of have some time to yourself, allow your mind to rest? We never really do that. You know, just give your mind a chance to kind of reset a little bit. You get some increased cognitive function more times than not. We have several Mississippi State student athletes. Of course, Allie Perry was there just yesterday. Yeah. Getting ready for a tournament. Kind of getting in peak physical shape. And so maybe you're not an athlete, but maybe, you know, think, hey, you know, Steve, I could use a little peace and quiet. We recently had a mom that came in. I think that they have three kids under the age of 5. And she said it was the first time that she'd had an hour of quiet in 5 years. Yeah, maybe you deserve that. Maybe your wife deserves that. Your significant other deserves a little bit of a break. And like, hey, I can kind of watch the kids for a couple hours if you want to go float. And maybe get them a gift card and set that up for them. Let them schedule an appointment. Give mom a little time off. Dad, you could take some time off too. Yeah, for sure. That's True Rest of Starkville. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love them. I planned to eat there today. We ended up doing Harvey's instead. But Bulldog Burger Company is one of those places that I know what to expect. That's one of the reasons that I love it, right? You know, some places you go, it's just kind of hit or miss. You know what I'm saying? Guys, you get solid contact, to use the baseball euphemism. It's a hard line drive every time you go. Very consistent in what they do. They take a lot of pride in everything they do. The atmosphere, great. The service, great. The pricing, great. The portions, outstanding. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Go by and check them out. Have those spring rolls as your appetizer. Make the world a more beautiful place. It's true. They'll make you better looking. It's even on the menu. In addition to that, get that chocolate shake to go. Find a great restaurant quality hamburger that suits your taste. Treat yourself a little bit, whether it's a lunch with business colleagues or a night out with friends or family. Bulldog Burger Company is the place for you. Get that chocolate shake to go too. Just do it big. Live high on the hog, man. Don't hold anything back. You're only going around the ride once. Enjoy Bulldog Burger Company as many times as you can. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's take a look ahead at the weekend here. Six games this weekend. We kind of gave you a preview on Wednesday's show. But had some time to think about all this stuff. You know how life works, man. It's like you spend some time on the road and kind of get away from the computer for a while, get away from social media for a while. You know, you just, it's part of it. You know, again, we kind of back to this whole overstimulus. You know, we're overstimulated as a people. And some of my best thinking comes when I'm on the road, just me and some good old rock and roll on an open highway. I love it, man. I do. Absolutely love it. All right, so thought a little bit more about these games. Texas at Arkansas. Now, Fayetteville is not an easy place to play. Now, Ole Miss made it look like an easy place to play when they went up there. It was kind of an anomaly in many respects. Ole Miss went up there and just absolutely laid the hammer to Arkansas. Now, we talked about this. You know, we made Arkansas look really good. Now, to give them some credit, you know, they showed up with a good game plan. And, of course, it's not a great matchup for us because we're weak against the run. They're very good with the run. But the Razorbacks 5-4. Now, we feel confident they're going to be bowl eligible. I suspect they'll get that game next weekend against Louisiana Tech. It may be the only game they win, right? Because you get Texas this weekend. Texas, obviously, a lot to play for. Texas in the playoffs, you know, they can win it all. I still believe they can. I don't know if they will. It's going to depend on matchups. I'm excited about the playoff. Arkansas, a lot to play for. Sam Pittman, of course, you know, a lot of people have said, well, you know, is 6-6 enough? You know, the thing that I think about, and I thought Brandon Walker made a good point, and it kind of illustrates a point that I've made on the show before. It may be a very quiet offseason. And then Brandon takes it a step further and says, you know what, it may be a situation next year where you've got 40 jobs open. It's not just the SEC, but really in the Power Four, there's not expected to be a lot of vacancies this year. And so if you're Arkansas, do you start thinking, you know what, maybe this is the time for us to get out of this deal because of the fact next year it may be a coach's market, an agent's bonanza. They're like, hey, you know, this year you don't have a lot of opportunities, but you get a chance to coach in the SEC, maybe the only SEC job open. And so maybe the savvy move is to do it now. Let's say they go 6-6 and lose a bowl game and you're 6-7. Something to consider. I do think Arkansas will put up a fight against Texas. I don't think they win, but I'm going to pick Texas to win and Arkansas to cover. The line is currently 12 points. I think Texas wins this thing probably 10 points or so, you know, it right up against it. But I think Arkansas will try to shorten the game on them and limit possessions and try to keep the scoring down a little bit. And Arkansas, again, it always feels like at home in that first half that they really come out with some juice ready to play. Not to mention kind of an historic matchup. Been a while since Texas and Arkansas, you know, got together in a regular season game. And we'll look up a little history here while we're together. You know, but that's part of the deal too, right? I mean, those old school Arkansas fans, they don't like Texas, you know. They used to be in a conference together. They know that Texas used to run the world. It was a big deal to beat Texas. Guys, they've played 79 times, with Texas winning 56 of them. So, yeah, regular opponents. The last time they played was a non-conference affair, 2021. In Fayetteville, Arkansas won that game 40-21. The last regular season meeting before that was in Austin, Texas in 2008. The Longhorns win 52-10. The two met in a 2014 Texas Bowl, though, and Arkansas won 31-7. So the Razorbacks currently with a two-game winning streak over the Longhorns. And that's awfully interesting, you know. And so, you know, if you're Sam Pittman, you win this game and you beat Louisiana Tech, I think he removes all doubt. But then you got to go to Missouri, you know, for the regular season finale, a place you've never won before. And Arkansas has taken a couple pretty good teams up there and come home with a loss. From a couple years ago, I told you guys what a month ago in the season, here's how this thing's going to play out. Missouri's going to get bowl eligible by beating Arkansas at their place. And they did. They beat them to death. But again, I take Texas to win, Arkansas to cover. That's how I see it. Now, Louisiana, Monroe's at Auburn. Now, I think Auburn wins this game fairly easily. But the spread out there is 25.5. When you look at this Auburn offense, objectively, do you really think that they can win by four scores? I don't know that they can, especially when you look like as of late, right? Now, you go back, again, it's a non-conference game. And early on, you know, they hammered Alabama A&M, you know, and all due respect to Alabama A&M, but Auburn probably could have played, you know, the scout team and won that game. There's a big talent differential between those two conferences. All right, you lose at Cal, and then you put up 45 points against New Mexico, and you win 45-19. Can you do the math there? It's 26 points. So it would take a near season high in margin for Auburn to cover. And Auburn's quarterback situation has been an absolute disaster in conference play. You put up 14 against Arkansas and lose. You put up 21 against Oklahoma and lose. 13 against Georgia and lose. 17 against Missouri and lose. And then you kind of bounce back and put up 24 against Kentucky. And you win that game. And then just 7 points against Vanderbilt, which may have probably the best defense in the SEC that nobody's talking about. And so I think it's going to take a real effort for Auburn to cover. And as we've mentioned, you know, Louisiana Monroe got off to a good start this year. They did. It's been a much different dynamic here as of late. But guys, Louisiana Monroe is 5-4. One more win and they're bowl eligible. They got something to play for. You know, they're going to come in ready to go. Now, can they win this ball game? Yeah, I don't think so. But I think they're a team that probably feels like, hey, we've lost three in a row. However, we got an Auburn team that appears to be a little bit vulnerable. Maybe we can sneak in there and make this thing interesting. And of course, they got two more weeks, you know, to get that that sixth win. They go to Arkansas State and host UL Lafayette to close out the regular season. But, this is one of those games because of the variance in the spread. I think you take Auburn to win, but maybe Louisiana Monroe covers. And so I've talked myself into that. We're going to pick UL Monroe to cover. Auburn to win. Kentucky and Murray State, I mean, there's really nothing to talk about here. You know, I'd love for Jody Wright and the Racers to go into Lexington and win this game. It's not going to happen, though. Mercer's at Alabama. That's another one. There's no point in even really discussing that. Even though Mercer has been really good this year, considering their league, but it's Mercer, right? I mean, you're playing against an Alabama team. And there may be even a bit of a letdown if you're Alabama, you know, after absolutely destroying LSU in Tiger Stadium. You know, it's tough to get up and play emotionally week after week after week. The lone loss this year for Mercer is at Samford, 55-35. But outside of that, they played pretty well defensively. So I won't be surprised if we look up midway through the second quarter. And you're like, wait a minute, look at this. Mercer's hanging in there with Bama, but eventually the talent differential take over and Alabama win this game. But, don't be surprised if Mercer makes it a game for a quarter and a half. LSU was in Florida. Now, here's what I expect to happen. We talk about football being an emotional game. And you look at the injury situation, you know, with the quarterbacks, you know, at Florida. And you saw what happened last week. I mean, it was 49-17. Let's be honest, Sarkisian and his guys could have put up 70. They didn't, but they could have. Gators have lost 3 of 4. Currently sit, you know, with a 4-5 record. And, you know, Scott Strickland's already made the statement, you know, the dreaded vote of confidence, that they're not going to make a change this year. Didn't say anything about next year. And so I wonder how much of Florida's defensive issues last week were maybe in response to the news that that staff's not going to change out. You know, maybe those guys don't believe in Billy Napier and the staff. And that's just speculation on my point. But they did not go out and play well. Again, it was 35-0 at the half. And Texas wins 49-17. But I don't know how motivated Florida's going to be to play. And again, you look at their schedule. You host number 22 LSU. Then you host Ole Miss. It's got a tremendous amount to play for next weekend. And then it's the rivalry game at Tallahassee. And you never know how that's going to go. There could conceivably be a situation here where Florida doesn't win another game. And then you close the year on a 5-game losing streak. It makes me wonder then, do the Bull Gators kind of spring into action then and say, you know what, Strickland, we can't endure another year of this. I do think LSU takes care of business. LSU a road favorite at just 3.5. But I think LSU will come out ready to play. I think it'll be a very entertaining game. It's going to be on ABC. It's going to be the 2:30 game, kind of the featured game of the day, shall we say. But I like LSU in this one. And again, I think the spread, even as a road favorite, is manageable. LSU just needs to find a way to go win this game. But you look at the Tigers, too. You know, there's a lot of discontent in Baton Rouge. They're 6-3, right? You don't expect to lose 3 games all year if you're LSU, and they've lost 2 in a row. You know, they were in a situation after they went to Arkansas and beat up on the Razorbacks. They controlled their own destiny, not just for the SEC title game, but for the playoff. And now, for all intents and purposes, you look at this thing and say, you know what, they're out of this thing. Because there's not a marquee win left for them. They would need some craziness to happen to find their way into the SEC championship game. Not that this league is immune from craziness. But I think it's pretty fair to say that LSU is going to be on the outside looking in when it comes to the SEC championship game. And there are a lot of people down there. It's different at LSU. The expectations are different. You know, when LSU fans look up and see Alabama playing well, now all of a sudden Texas A&M appears to be somewhat resurgent with Mike Elko at the helm. You start thinking, hey, you know, we get rid of these divisions. You know, we don't have to play these same teams every year. We get a crack at some of these teams in the old Eastern Division. You know, the path to the playoffs should be a lot easier for us. And now you're 6-3. I think the problem that Brian Kelly's got is he's having to play with the players that he recruited. And I know Notre Dame is a name, but the reality of it is how many head-to-head SEC battles did Notre Dame really win over the years under Brian Kelly? You know, it's a handful, maybe. There's a bunch of guys out there to claim offers. You said, but Steve, Notre Dame's a national recruiter. It's a different dynamic here. It's different. And if you don't recruit well at LSU, you don't win. And there are a lot of kids born and bred in Louisiana who can go to LSU if you or I are the coach. Because it's about wearing the purple and gold. So I think in many respects it's a must-win for Brian Kelly. I don't think there's any danger of him losing his job this year. But he's certainly losing a lot of support. All right, Missouri at South Carolina. I love the game. I don't love the line here. South Carolina at home, it's an afternoon game. If it was night, I might feel differently. It's 3:15 in the afternoon. And South Carolina is favored by 14. I really feel like Missouri is being disrespected here. And I get it. South Carolina has played pretty well as of late. Guys, the Missouri Tigers are 7-2. It's not like they're 5-4. They're 7-2 and a 2-touchdown dog at South Carolina. And granted, since the weather has changed, you know, when you know, we make the time change, all of a sudden South Carolina's found something. But you know, Missouri's 7-2. Their losses are to number 25, Texas A&M, on the road in College Station, and then to Alabama in Tuscaloosa. There are a lot of good football programs. A lot of great football programs are going to go to Tuscaloosa and lose. And so, again, this is another road game. But you begin to kind of work this thing out here. And, of course, you had to win last week over Oklahoma. And you begin to wonder what Oklahoma is going to do in their situation. I think even with all of Oklahoma's money, you probably give it another year. But again, kind of like Arkansas, you start thinking about this. There's going to be some people out there. They're going to think about that. They're going to put some feelers out, talk to some agents, and find out that, hey, next year is probably going to be a wild coaching carousel. So maybe this is the smart move to make a move now. But I just think that Missouri will probably do enough to cover. We're going to take South Carolina to win. But I think Missouri covers. And again, the South Carolina team, you know, it's just all, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Beamer's got them ranked in the top 25 again. You know, expected to already bowl eligible. Shane Beamer's job is safe again. And that's big, too, you know, with the change in leadership there at South Carolina. And speaking of that, too, it's one of the things I think about with Florida, right? You're still dealing with an interim president. When the new president comes in, what does that mean for Scott Strickland? Does the new president say, Scott, no, you're going to fire this guy. We'll find the money, you know. Do they revamp the entire athletic department? You know, when you look at what's happened to the Todd Golden situation, if you've read any of that stuff, the allegations in that are disgusting. I mean, you hope that's not true. And, of course, the way it's been painted in the media, it certainly sounds like there is an air of truth to some of this stuff. Don't know how far it went. But the reality of it is you know, the allegations are very disturbing. And so that's one of those things you begin to think about, too. You know, probably the last thing Scott Strickland needed was a fire burning with another sport. I like Scott Strickland. You know, I do. And I hope things work out for him. But this is one of those things, too, you begin to kind of wonder, you know. But back to Shane Beamer. I believe in Beamer ball, too. You know, Shane's a guy all the way back to the Kroom era, was a great coach here for us. Guy that recruited exceptionally well at Mississippi State. And probably got a head coaching job before he was ready. But he's made the most of it, you know. And there were a lot of people this year that felt like Beamer was probably in trouble, including myself. And so now you're bowl eligible and you're playing for positioning. And you get Missouri coming in this weekend and you're favored. Next weekend it's Wofford. So you feel like, hey, there's at least 7 wins out there, maybe 8. And then you close at Clemson. And the way Clemson has played as of late, you begin to wonder how bought in are those guys going to be in that rivalry game. I mean, so South Carolina, things kind of trending well for them right now. So, again, we'll take South Carolina to win the ball game, but Missouri to cover. On the Gene's Page Pick'ems, you know, we just pick, you know, covers. We don't pick wins. We just pick who's going to cover. And I pick Mizzou. All right, Tennessee at Georgia. The primetime game on ABC, number 7, Tennessee at Georgia. After watching Tennessee last week, I think we would all agree this team, even at full health, might be a little overrated. And I understand there's been some chaos, and you got to think about records and things like that. But after watching Tennessee last week, do you think they're capable of winning a national championship? You know, we've talked to ourselves in these situations before, and I don't know that they are. I think Nico is not real, I don't know, what should we say? Nico's not maybe real durable. You know, when I think about Samson, not the biggest guy against a pretty big Georgia front, are they going to be able to run the football? I mean, you know, listen, let's be honest about this too. As much maligned as this Bulldog secondary has been, We paired up pretty well with those guys. You had the one play where Diego Brumfield just kind of mistimes a jump there, misplays the ball, and gets a 73-yard touchdown. And they did score 3 touchdowns in the game, I think, on Monday. I said, what was it, 2? It's actually 3. But I didn't think Tennessee just ran by us. You know, there was one play, of course, the touchdown early where we have a safety bite on some underneath stuff, and they sneak a guy behind us. But I thought we actually matched up pretty well with them. And so since we did, I think Georgia will be able to match up with Tennessee skill guys. And I think it's going to be a situation where Georgia wins a ball game. And they're going to come out with their hair on fire, too. I mean, after getting embarrassed last week by Ole Miss and, you know, and then Kirby Smart kind of stuck his foot in his mouth this week talking about a player, you know, that it was, you know, called him an idiot, like he was celebrating on the field. Saw a friend that plays at Ole Miss, and they were excited to see each other. And it's bad judgment. It really is. But Kirby comes out and calls the kid an idiot. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, you might say in a locker room, you don't, or your office, you don't say it in a press.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Conference, but Georgia favored by 9.5. I think they win and cover. New Mexico State at Texas A&M, this line is 39 points. It's a lot. It's enough to make you think about it, right? You start thinking 39 points, and you look at this A&M team. Of course, they're coming off an open date. So in many respects, it works out well for them. It's kind of two open dates because they get New Mexico State, a team they should handle easily. But I just kind of wonder, you know. You got smacked by South Carolina. You get the open date. Now you get New Mexico State. You're eager to kind of get back on the field to work some things out before that road trip to Auburn. And then you host Texas. You know, again, that South Carolina loss, so significant. So significant. But you start thinking about this. Let's say you went out and you beat Texas. And you end up 10-2. You're probably in a playoff. So a lot to play for. But again, that 39-point spread is enough to kind of give you a little bit of pause, and that's what Vegas does, right? They try to give you lines that entice you to, you know, to maybe take some chances here. But this New Mexico State Aggies team is 2-7. Not great. They got a 7-point win over SEMO and then a 3-point win over Louisiana Tech. And outside of that, it, you know, it's just kind of been the opponent's bonanza in many respects. So I'm actually going to take A&M to, you know, to cover here, to win and to cover, even with 39 points. It seems like a lot. I think Texas A&M is eager to get back on the field. I think New Mexico State is eager to get their check. So your winners this week, we're just going to go winners. Your winners are Texas, Auburn, Kentucky, Alabama, LSU, South Carolina, Georgia, and Texas A&M. That's how I see it. You may see it differently. I had a good week last week on the picks, but still got a little ways to go. Nate, like, jumped out to the lead on our Jeans Page Pick'em column, and he has maintained the lead all the way through. I think he's had, like, a game or two ahead of me, and then now he's, like, four ahead of me, and I'm running out of games. And so I was pretty aggressive in my picks this week. So either we're going to go down in flames or we're going to go down in glory. But either way, we're going down shooting. That's what we're going to do. We're going to come out, just kind of fire some things off here, make some things happen. That's how I feel about it. And, of course, Mississippi State not playing. And so if you're like me, you know, I don't get a lot of chances to just enjoy college football, you know. And I got a busy schedule this weekend. But I do look forward to getting home and kind of catching up on everything and then watching those games, those night games. You know, that's one thing, and you've heard me say it before, I don't think the Associated Press poll is a good thing. I don't. And I've never been asked to be the AP voter, and that's perfectly fine with me. And let me tell you why. Because despite the fact that I cover college football, I don't get to watch enough college football to be a good voter. And many of the people that vote in that poll also don't watch enough college football to be a good voter. That's why I think all this has got to be just kind of taken with a grain of salt. And I think the FBS playoff rankings are what you kind of got to pay, you know, pay attention to now. It's what matters most. We have a playoff. It's not like the media picks a national champion anymore. They used to be the big thing. And anybody that doesn't believe there's always been a bias and that kind of stuff, you're kind of kidding yourself. I mean, it's just the truth. You know, those guys that voted years ago didn't get to see any games, unless they covered a game, because games weren't on television. I mean, the AP poll kind of predates that kind of stuff. And so you got to take all that stuff with a grain of salt. And there are a lot of people out there that will defend that poll. You know, my argument has always been, I think the best thing for us to do is put a poll together with a bunch of retired football coaches. You know, they're going to watch a lot of football. You know, they're going to be able to plop down on their couch on Saturday morning, watch College game day, and watch football all day. And you know, they can kind of flip around and watch several games and then have an opportunity. I mean, they got time, right? They also have a better handle on the game than we do. But again, sometimes these things come out and we just kind of assume that everything is on the up. It's not always on the up. That's my feelings. All right, time for today's top 10 list is always brought to you by closewithblair.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. This guy's got nearly 24 years experience in the mortgage loan origination industry. Nobody stays in any industry 20 plus years by luck, right? You got to get things done. You know, the mortgage industry is one of those, you know, kind of you eat what you kill type deals, right? I mean, you know, it's not like, hey, it's a salaried position and we just kind of hope for the best. No, there's commission involved in all this stuff. And so Blair has a vested interest in getting your loan approved. And so he is going to construct your loan in the best way possible to get you an approval. Now, it's important, too, to get pre-qualified. If you're looking for a home for the first time, you don't even know where to begin, right? It's like, hey, I'd love to have this big $500,000 house out here on a reservoir or out of Lake Caroline or something, and that's where I'd like to be. Well, you know, maybe beyond your means right now. So get pre-qualified and wait. Once you get that letter, your real estate agent will spring into action because they know exactly what we're looking for and they know that you have financing arranged. They're going to get you to the closing table much quicker when you've got that pre-qualification letter. Now hit Blair up at 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. And let him know you heard about him on the Boneyard. You know, I mean, you never know. You may get a free set of steak knives or something. Who knows? But Blair is a great friend of mine. He is a friend to all of you. And so whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or perhaps your retirement home, go ahead and just take something big off the table and let Blair handle it. He'll put you in the best deal possible. That's closewithblair.com. Okay. A lot of feedback about Wednesday's show. Had a lot of people message me to check on me. Guys, I'm doing okay. Right? Sadness is part of life. Okay? And, you know, went and spent some time with the family and, you know, said my goodbyes to my cousin Sarita and had a chance to hug her kids and shake her husband's hand and, you know, see my Uncle Harold and Mary Ellen and you know, Malcolm and my cousin Elisa. And it's tough, man. It is. And it's tough to see people you love hurting and because you're just so powerless to stop it. I tell you this, too. I had somebody else hit me up and they said, Steve, I saw you posted about Malcolm Rousey on Facebook. I said, yeah, it's my cousin, one of my closest cousins growing up. Yeah, and he goes, hey, is he the guy that makes the duck calls? Well, as a matter of fact, he is. Yeah, Rocky Creek Custom Calls, that's Malcolm Rousey. That's my cousin. It's true. Does an amazing job. And you know what, if you're looking for that kind of stuff, if you're looking, say, you got hunters in your family, just kind of go look at the website and see if there's something in there that strikes your fancy. I can tell you Malcolm would love the business. You know, when people always say, hey, is there anything we can do? Yeah. How about take your duck call business to Malcolm? That'd be a nice gesture. But anyway, I had, I'm not going to mention a name here. Okay. Cause I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I had somebody else reach out to me and, two people about the same person. How interesting is that? And they're both Boneyard listeners. One of them, it's a friend who listens to the show has a friend who lost his dad recently, and he's having a very difficult time. As I'm scrolling through my messages, I also see a message from this man's wife and sharing the same story, that he lost his dad unexpectedly and is having a tough time. I lost my dad when he was just 57 years of age. And so I've got some experience with this. And so I put this top 10 list together for this man. This Boneyard listener, again, I'm not going to mention his name. He may figure it out. And if he doesn't, that's fine too. But there may be some other people out there that are suffering with loss or suffering with depression or suffering with, you know, something in life that is, it gets stuck in your gears, man. It's like you just can't get going again. And that's how it was for me when my dad died. For weeks, man, like I was always late for work and stuff. You know, just for a couple of weeks there, I couldn't get out of bed. And it's like one day I heard him. He's like, you know, you got to get up and get going. You got to get up and get moving. And here's the thing that I know and I believe. And there are a lot of things in life that I got strong opinions about. And there are other things that I believe are profound truths of life. Here's what I know is those that we lose would not want our lives to end when theirs did. They would not want us to just merely exist and just go through life. Yeah, they want to be remembered. Absolutely they do. But the last thing that somebody that we love, that we lose, would want is for us to go through life basically like a zombie, just existing, not having any quality of life. They would not want that for you. And that's one of the things that I learned in time. I said, you know, my dad would not want this for me. I had small kids at the time. And I knew that my dad would make himself present in my life in some way. And the thing that you worry about the most, and this is the thing nobody ever tells you, right? Until you lose a parent. Because when you lose a parent, it's like you've lost an engine. You know what I mean? It's like you just think you're going to sit there and spin. You know, you've lost your direction in life. And you lose access to all that wisdom that only a parent can provide, right? I'm a firm believer in, you know, the same-sex parent is the most important relationship that you'll have as an adult because, you know, your dad knows what it takes to be a dad and to be a husband and to be a man. You know, your mom knows what it means to be a mom and to be a wife and to be somebody that kind of, you know, runs the show in many respects, right? I mean, and so there is some wisdom that they can impart that you can't have access to anywhere else. There's not a book. There's not a class. There's not a meme. There's nothing out there that can replace that. And there's some things that you may read that say, hey, that sounds just like mama. You know, that sounds just like daddy. It's true. But you lose access to all that wisdom. And you take that for granted when your parents are living, you know, because how many times do you say, Dad, I mean, I've never had to deal with this tax issue, you know, hey, I'm getting this car fixed or they ripping me off. You know, you lose the experience and all the lessons learned in a life well lived. And that to me, short of losing the person itself, is the biggest loss of all. You know, the guidance that your parents provide for you as you navigate through life. And you kind of got to figure it out for yourself, right? And I was very fortunate, man, after my dad died, I had some people kind of step up and kind of be my bonus dads. And, you know, it's like, hey, if you ever need anything, you call me. And I did. You know, I think about Bob, you know, Tiger Dog from Batesville, Mississippi. Man, I bet he called me every day for probably 2 months. Just calling to check on you, man. Just kind of see what you're doing today. What's your plan today? You know, what do you think about the ball game this weekend? Just to kind of get me back into the flow. And so to you, our Boneyard listener or listeners that may be struggling a little bit, this is for you, okay? It's songs of encouragement. And so I got a little something to say about all of them. And they're all very different. But number 10 is ELO's Mr. Blue Sky. Maybe you don't know that one that well. But when you hear it, you'll be like, oh, I know this song. You know, and it's about, hey, Mr. Blue Sky, why'd you stay away so long? You know, and this is the thing that I've learned through long-term recovery, right? Is that this too shall pass. Everything good, bad, and indifferent shall pass. And that's why that's Bible, right? You know, it talks about, you know, to everything turn. I mean, the Birds made that a, you know, big hit song during the Haight-Ashbury days. Everything in life changes. You know, it's so interesting, too. You think nothing changes day to day, and you look back a year ago, and everything's different, you know. But the sun comes up. It does. So Mr. Blue Sky, number 10 from ELO. Number nine, U2's Beautiful Day. I'm not a huge U2 fan, but I've always enjoyed this song, you know, because I'm a firm believer in this, is that there's so much that happens in life. And it's not about what happens to you, it's how you react to it. And you hear that, it's kind of a cliche. You know, Guys, I have been lied about, conspired against, stabbed in the back. I've got people every single day that work against me. And so if I want to get down in the dumps and start feeling sorry for Steve, that's easy for me to do. It's just that by about 360 days out of 365, I just choose not to. I'm not going to give people the satisfaction of that. But it sometimes it does wear on you for a while. I'm human like everybody else. And when I'm feeling down sometimes, I go write a gratitude list out. And that's the thing they teach us in recovery. But anybody would benefit from doing this. Is get a piece of paper, you know, put it on your desk. And every time that you think of something you're grateful for, you write it down. And it could be something minor, you know. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for my relationship with this person. I'm grateful I don't have to do this anymore. I'm grateful I don't wake up to hangovers anymore. I'm grateful that I found a new way to live. I'm grateful for my church. I'm grateful for my wife. You know, and the next thing you know, every time that you think of that, something else will index forward, right? It's like maybe your mind only has like two or three in the chamber and you get those things out and something else will pop up. And next thing you know, you look at your piece of paper and you're like, oh my gosh, look at all the things in my life that have value to me. It's an amazing place to be. And sometimes we need a reminder and we can provide it to ourselves. It's a beautiful day, baby. Number 8. Love this song. It wasn't as big a hit as the Honey, I'm Good, but it was a big hit called Keep Your Head Up. Not the Tupac version. It's the only thing. You know, life is tough, right? It is. But we don't have to make it more difficult than it already is because life is a journey and life is so beautiful at times too. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in this. And if you follow me on Facebook, it's one of the things when I ride the randoms I talk about a lot is one of my best friends in the world. And we don't get to see each other very often because he moved to jolly old England. But he said this one day. I've never forgotten it. And a lot of people think it's mine, but it's not. It belongs to Jim Winter. But Jim said, all sunshine and no rain makes a desert. And then I took it and said, exactly. And I said, and then, you know, it's the rainy season in which we grow. You know, so we need that balance. You know, if it sunshines all the time, you know, the scenery gets kind of boring. It's true. And so you got to keep your head up and keep moving. Number 7, the very first time I heard this song, it made me cry. True story. It's Rascal Flatts, Bless the Broken Road. And it wasn't just because of the fact that I'm madly in love with my wife. But in addition to that, too, it made me think about all the things that I wanted and all the people perhaps that I wanted that didn't work out. Because I thought I knew better, but God, who I, in my higher power I choose to call God, had a better plan, better than I planned. And I see so many things out here, and I try not to be judgmental. I was very judgmental in my 20s. Got a little bit better in my 30s, and as I age, I've just kind of learned to let people be themselves, and if they want to make mistakes, I'm not going to stand in the way of them doing so. But guys, we are surrounded by fakery. I mean, honest to goodness, when you look around, right, I mean, how many times it is so sad to, like, you know, I'm nosy, like, so anytime that I see there's been some, you know, some incident, I go run to Facebook and see, you know, do I know this person? Do we have any mutual friends? You know, and maybe that's unhealthy and toxic of me. But then you go back and you look and there's like no signs, right? Everybody puts their best foot forward on social media. And I can't tell you how many people, like, you know, it appears they have the perfect relationship and then they don't. And none of them are perfect. But I know some people, not just in recovery, but, you know, friends and acquaintances, that their relationship is in absolute shambles. But you go look on social media and you would think, hey, this is couple goals right here. And I don't say that to be critical of them. It's just important to understand a lot of people aren't going to advertise when they're in pain. They're going to suffer in silence, right? Because there's this expectation. There's a role we have to play. Like, I got to be strong for everybody else. And listen, there are a lot of people that overshare on Facebook, and maybe I'm one of them. But there are a lot of people out there you would never know what they're dealing with. And not everybody needs to put that out there. But the reality of it is I think when you keep that in mind, that this person, you know, may be carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders, and you offer them a little kindness, and it might turn around the day. You know what I mean? It might turn around a week. Number six, love this band. When Dana and I went to marriage boot camp as our gift to each other for our 25-year wedding anniversary, went to boot camp out in Texas. Great, great experience. And I think we were one of only three couples that weren't in the middle of contemplating divorce. And I came face to face with a lot of things out there, you know. It's like I've heard somebody say before, like if we all got together and threw our problems in a pile, once we saw the problems that everybody else was carrying around, we'd probably just pull our problems back out, right? It's true. I'll just take these. I'm used to carrying these, right? But it was interesting. And they played a lot of One Republic, and I knew some of their stuff, but there was some songs in there too that really, really resonated with me. And I was like, you know what? This band's got something going. You know, there's some positivity with this band. And the song I Lived really speaks to me. It really does. Because when I think about the totality of my life and I look back and I say, you know, I am so much more than a recovering alcoholic and a drug addict. I am. I am more than that. And I am more than just, you know, a guy that covers Mississippi State. And I'm more than just a dad, even though it's probably the most important job that I have. And I'm more than just a husband. I'm more than just a dude with long hair and tattoos, you know. I'm more than just that guy that, you know, eats up a chair at the table. You know, I'm more than those things. And I've worked on myself over the years, and I've worked at my craft. And I look back sometimes and I think, you know, it's been a pretty good run. You know, it has been. You know, it nearly ended, you know, coming up on 33 years ago. You know, I think about those things sometimes when it gets this time of year. My wife tells me that the burden of being a deep thinker is that I'm constantly thinking about those things. You know, I sometimes ruminate over all that stuff. Like I can't just move. She's completely different. Like she can compartmentalize things. Like guys, she's even forgotten people she dated, right? Which maybe that says something for me. But I was like, you don't remember you dated this guy? It's like, no, I didn't date that guy. Yes, you did. And then, like, all of a sudden, we'd get around our high school friends and be like, oh, yeah, I guess I did go on a date with him one or two, you know. Then come to find out the guy was madly in love with her. You know, it's come on, you know. But here's the thing that I know is if the ride ends for me tomorrow, or if it ends for me 10 years from now, the people that know me and the people that love me will look back and say, you know what? That's Steve Robertson, he really lived. He didn't just go, you know, pay the bills and raise kids and just hope for the best. He really got out and did some cool stuff. He lived. And I think that's a testament that we all want to leave. That's a legacy we all want to leave. As you got out and you lived and you enjoyed life, it's what your family would want. Number five, it's a Freddie Mercury and Queen, The Show Must Go On. And, of course, this was, you know, written when it was pretty much determined that Freddie Mercury had a death sentence, you know, due to the HIV. But he found the strength to put this song together. It's a song of inspiration. It's, you know, when things happen in life, you know, life is not going to end for all of us. Those of us that kind of carry forward, you know, we have to kind of embrace the fact that we have to soldier on without somebody we cared about. And that's not to say that, you know, somebody's going to come and take their place, but you will get other allies along the journey. But the show must go on. Number four, and you knew it was coming at some point. And Nick Fitzgerald is advocating for the return of this song. It's Don't Stop Believing. A lot of people are like, hey, Steve, you know, it's just bad. You know, we're down 20 points. It's like, Don't Stop Believing. Guys, is it any cornier than us playing the Eurythmics Little John mix? We're down 30 points, and we have Chris Jones did a little video. Let's go fight to the end. And then, you know, guys, it's just as corny. It's just as corny. If that's your rationale behind, hey, we shouldn't play this song because it just kind of seems silly. And I'm going to tell you this, too. I'm so sick of people's feelings. I mean, honest to goodness, right? I mean, honest to goodness. We should never change anything because of somebody's feelings. Well, I think it's kind of silly. Well, you know what? Life sucks. Get a helmet. It's true. I'm not saying we got to bring Don't Stop Believing back, but I'm just going to tell you that playing the Eurythmics, you know, everybody clap your hands, all the stuff that we played at baseball exclusively for a while, it's not any better. I mean, I love the song. It's an electric factory when the game is going on and we're rocking. But when we're down 30 points, I would be okay if I didn't play anything. That's just my honest opinion. All right, number three, going back. It's Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful Life. And I think to myself, what a wonderful life. It is one of those classic songs, and it's a song of gratitude. We talked about having a gratitude list. This is kind of along those lines. You think about all the things that are around you, all the miracles that are around you, and it's so easy to get caught up in our own nonsense, where we get so incredibly caught up in what we're feeling. And it's not to say those feelings aren't valid, but you can't live the rest of your life dragging that baggage along. You can't. I'm a firm believer in the heaviest stuff that you carry up the mountain, the other stuff people put in your wagon. There's some truth in that. But sometimes you got to stop and take some inventory and lighten a load a little bit, baby. It's true. Number two, classic song. And some people would say maybe this is should have been number one, but it's not. It's my list. But it's Let It Be from the Beatles. Let It Be. You know, it's one of the things in recovery they teach us that, you know, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom know the difference, right? And that's one of the reasons we repeat that is because it's difficult for us, right? And sometimes you just got to let it be. There's a big thing, you know, we talk about with step two, you just got to let go and let God. You know, let God do it. And I'm a firm believer, and I can't hold everybody and everything in place. I've tried to the point of near insanity, trying to make everybody do right. And then you kind of reach a point where it's like, you know what, they're going to do what they want to do anyway. And I don't want anybody faking it. I don't want anybody, because this is what I expect from them. They're going to give me the fakery just to kind of, you know, keep me appeased. And then they're going to do what they want to do. And so my belief is this, and thankfully I have you know, been with the same person for a long time. But, you know, even when I was young, I there's a difference between being alone and being lonely. True story. But the reality of that is that you can't make somebody love you. You can't make somebody respect you. Now, you can stop people from disrespecting you. I firmly believe that. You don't have to like me, but you're not going to disrespect me to my face. And it's so one of the greatest compliments that I think I ever get is when I find out somebody's talking bad about me behind my back. You say, but Steve, that's silly. Why would you feel that way? Because it means they respect me enough not to act up in my face. True story. You know, say what you will, but say it in my face, as the great poet laureate Ivan Moody sings in Lift Me Up. but you know, you just got to let people be who they're going to be. You know, you got to be the best version of yourself. And the thing that I believe about that is eventually you will draw the people to you that are your allies in life, right? You can't take prisoners, right? You just got to find partners. Number one, though, a song that means so much to me, and I discovered it kind of by accident. I love Alter Bridge, and you guys know that I've seen Alter Bridge, I've seen Tremonti, I've seen Miles Kennedy. Talked to Miles Kennedy on the phone one time, and but it's Alter Bridge's Life Must Go On. And I was near my wit's end. And I had Alter Bridge's 3 album. And I just kind of listened to the hits. And this is a deeper track that's kind of buried on the album. And I was absolutely depressed. I was absolutely alone. I thought that I had nowhere to turn. And this is all in recovery. I mean, this is, you know, within the last, you know, what, 20 years or so? And I'm driving around, not really paying attention to what's on the radio, and pulled up at a red light, and just kind of got quiet for a second, and this song comes on, and the chorus comes on, and it just absolutely spoke to me. There's some songs in life that I think that are meant to be on the soundtrack of our lives, and we don't discover them until we need them. And this is one of them for me, and it's Life Must Go On. And I'm going to read a few lyrics for you here. And here's how the song opens. Sitting alone in the cold of the night, you're trying to find what you need to survive. You're so afraid that you can't go on. Left in the silence, it tears at your heart. It only reminds you how broken you are. You lost your way, but hope is not gone. Because the sun always sets, the moon always falls. If it feels like the end, just pay no mind at all. absolute poetry. And when I get down, even to these days now, if I get down, I get depressed, and that happens to me from time to time, this is my go-to, right? It is. There's a couple other songs out there that are kind of on the perk up playlist, but that's the one, because I think there's a spiritual component to every bit of that, right? And so I shared this today, and I spent a little longer doing this list because I think it's important. But also, too, when I have two people reach out to me about the same individual, because we're a family here, okay? And says, hey, you know, this is somebody I love and is really struggling, and they really respect you, and they listen to the show all the time. And I said, you know what? Anonymity guaranteed. And so you know who you are. So this top 10 list is for you, but not just for you. It's for everybody out there that maybe is struggling today. And I encourage you, you know, to pick it up. You know, it is so easy to wallow in the mire. It's easier not to be great. But I can promise you, and I know this in my heart, and I think you do too, that the people that you love, your dad, that you lost unexpectedly, the last thing that he wants is for your life to fall apart because of his passing. That's the absolute last thing that he would want. And there have been times in my life, like when, I wrote about this, when the bottom falls, and we'll move on after this. You know, Dana and I lost our first child to stillbirth. And there were so many times I thought about going and getting drunk or going and getting high. And then, you know, then I would wake up and I would say, you know what, that's the last thing that she needs. You know, here she is feeling like she failed me, which was completely untrue, but that's how she felt. But it was a part of me too. I said, you know what, I'm not going to get to heaven and have to look this kid in the face and say that I let my life, you know, dive into oblivion because of your death. And I just felt like there was a spiritual component to that. And so every time that I would think about doing something silly or doing something self-destructive, I would think about my unborn child. And I would say, you know what? The last thing that anybody that loves me wants to see happen is to see me fall apart. It's true. I know this to be true, and you do too. And so hopefully we can bounce back from this. I know that you can. Kind of got to choose to. It's not to say that grieving is not part of life. It is. But we can't grieve forever. At some point, we have to pick up and move forward. Life must go on. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out and let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy on Twitter. And I joked with him earlier that I think that he is on strike. And he comes back not sure what that means. Yeah. Or maybe I've missed his tweets because life has been busy. But nevertheless, Roy is my friend, your friend, and he puts these lists together on Spotify at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. And then also you can follow him on Twitter or X under that same handle. Roy's our friend, and maybe Roy's just been busy, but nevertheless, I appreciate Roy's contributions to our show. And so many of you have gotten to know Roy because of this, but Roy, a great guy. I wish him and Missy, also the whole family, a great holiday season. So if you got ideas, reach out, let us know. And again, we've got some, they're kind of, you know, on standby. And sometimes it just takes me a while to kind of sit down and on a road trip and say, okay, I'm going to listen to this band and put this thing together for you. But I just thought under the circumstances, we needed to call an audible today. And so here we are. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. I love going in there and just checking it all out. Wish I had a blank check. I'd just bring all that stuff home with me. And maybe I'd give you some of it too. But we can just kind of work together and buy all that merchandise. And Miss Kathy Brown and the great buyers there will buy more. Yeah. So if you're looking for Mississippi State apparel, you're looking for Mississippi State gift items, because every Bulldog on your list would love Mississippi State gifts. They're gifts that last a lifetime, right? Because you treasure them, so you protect them, and you want to take that fan cave to the next level. It's true. So visit Campus Bookmart next time you're in town. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is a tough shopping day for you, then visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. Anytime you can save some money this time of year, it's a great thing. Promo code BSR saves you shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right. Since we've been together, Mississippi State women's basketball picked up a win, as expected, over Alabama State. It wasn't much of a game. And as our friend Brian Haydad tweeted at him again, I think Alabama State's not very good. Through three quarters of play, they had 17 points. Mississippi State scored 17 or more the first three quarters. It was an 83-29 final. Bulldogs now 3-0. Alabama State was 2-0 coming in. You know, but they're not a great team. They're not. Bulldogs really, really clamped down defensively in this ballgame. Guys, when it's all said and done, you know, you start looking at the field goal percentage. They shoot just 22% from the floor and 18% beyond the arc. They were 4 of 22. It's nuts, man. It is. Looking at the Mississippi State women's team, Medina Okot with 17 points to lead all scorers in the ballgame. That's nice to see, certainly, in only 25 minutes of action. Anaya Russell with 16, DeBrescia Poe with 14. She was 4 of 6 from beyond the arc. Bulldogs kind of dialed it up a little bit. Taryn Ward, 3 of 4 from beyond the arc herself, 14 points off the bench there. Bulldogs really came out really strong in this ballgame, shot nearly 60% in the first half, and kind of dialed it back to a cool 46%. Of course, State, you know, playing a lot of players late in that ballgame. But, the Education Day game, as I was leaving town, I passed several school buses filled with school-aged children headed to Humphrey Coliseum for an 11 a.m. tip. I don't know whose idea it was to do this. We've done it a couple times now. It's a great idea. It's the Bulldogs of the future. Anytime we can get them on campus and have them come enjoy a day at Mississippi State, it's something they will never forget. And so I commend the university for putting this thing together. Ladies back in action on Sunday, 2 p.m. at Humphrey Coliseum against Tennessee Chattanooga. We hope that you'll turn out and do that. Some of you may be tempted to pull the doubleheader, right? Maybe come watch the women and then ease over and watch the men's team in South Haven. Roy Samanti texted me earlier and asked me if I would be there. I will not be. A lot going on here, but Dave Murray and Jacob Bain will be there for us. The men's team, 3-0, will take on Utah. It's also 3-0. That game's going to be broadcast ESPN2. Going to be tough to make both of those games, but 3 p.m. From South Haven. And so we hope that you'll turn out and be a part of that. And so, again, a good early test from a Utah team that has proven to be pretty good so far. But we're not playing at home, but we may as well be. You know, maybe the rims are unfamiliar, but the colors in the stands won't be. We need you to pack that place out. Not sure how many fans will show up from Utah. There'll be a few. But anytime that we take the show on the road, it's a good thing. Certainly is. Also, too, Chris Jans met with the media today. I don't know if you guys kept up with that. And we had full coverage over at jeanspage.com. Your Mississippi State signing class, currently ranked 10th in the country, may sign one more. Maybe. Doing some checking on that. Maybe one more. But, I mean, 3-4 stars, according to 247 Sports, and also ranked 10th in the composite. So a top 10 class for Coach Chris Jans. And not exactly sure where the women are going to end up ranked, but a good group also for Coach Sam Purcell. Let's take a swing over to baseball as Coach Chris Simonis and his staff bring in 12 signees for the signing period, and maybe one or two more. We'll see how things go. But when it's all said and done, Mississippi State ranked fifth in the rankings of Perfect Game, and that's an imperfect system because, you know, if you don't go to their events, you don't get ranked. You know, John Bingham is a guy that we expect some big things from, and he is unranked by them. And so, you know, in the event that he eventually gets ranked, there may be some upward mobility in the rankings. When you break it down by average player ranking, Mississippi State second in the country behind just LSU. And a lot of these guys' ties to Mississippi State, you know, that's the thing. Everybody says, well, Steve, it's a great class. Can we get them to campus? Well, the only ones you're really worried about, the Parker brothers, obviously, and I was in Purvis to watch them sign with Mississippi State, had a chance to interview them and their parents, and wrote that story at jeanspage.com this morning, a free story. I think both of these guys will get some calls during the draft. I don't know they're going to be willing to sign, though. And some would say, but, you know, Steve, you know, Jacob Parker, you know, a guy that had the big home run summer, was one of the biggest names on the summer circuit. And then JoJo made a pretty big jump in the rankings, too. And then Trent Grindlinger, also considered by many to be one of the top catchers, if not the top catcher in the country. Peter Mershon, a guy that can catch, play third, and play center. Also part of those games, Landon Harmon, the pitcher. Mom teaches at Mississippi State from East Union Attendance Center. So those are five names that we'll be watching. But, you know, the thinking now is that everybody comes to school. That's the thinking today. We'll see what happens. I mean, you know, Jacob Parker could lead the nation in home runs this spring and things could change. But I think those guys want to stay together when it's all said and done. But you never know. You know, not going to turn down a ton of money just to go to college. It's a means to an end for a lot of people. But it's a really, really good class. You know, Charlie Wortham, of course, a guy from DeSmet Jesuit in St. Peter's, Missouri. Richie Swain, also from Missouri, a right-handed pitcher. Gabe Boyd, a shortstop from Christian Brothers there in Memphis. And a guy that a lot of people don't really talk about is Gabe Boyd. You know, this is a guy that, you know, 9.5 rating by perfect game, not a perfect 10. We had a lot of the guys that were 10s, but you know, you begin to kind of work through this stuff and kind of see it for what it is. But, you know, I like the class. And I had a chance to speak with Coach Chris Simonis today, and he said that he felt like it was, you know, probably, you know, one of the best classes that he signed at Mississippi State. When you begin to, you know, think about these, you know, state rankings and things like that, it's a really good group in Mississippi this year. Really good group. And, you know, we'll see how things kind of play out. But, you know, you feel good about who we have and what we have. Of the top players in Mississippi, four of the top five are headed to Mississippi State, if memory serves me correct. But, you know, that's something that we'll continue to monitor. But, yeah, you know, good outcome for Mississippi State. They're continuing to work hard and put this 2026 class together, too. And that, you know, the calendar moves pretty quick the older you get, right? I mean, you can't just sit around and wait. And what's interesting, you know, the Parker brothers committed to Mississippi State in the ninth grade. And then you pick up Bingham and Mershon here in the last week, you know, just before the signing period opens. And so Mississippi State, the fewest number of commitments in the top 10, because that's what we have room for. And you look at like Tennessee going out signing double that number of players. But you start thinking about that when you begin to realize that, you know, with the potential for a 34-man roster next year, are they going to run everybody off? You know, Tennessee didn't do much in the portal this year. And so you start thinking about that aspect too. I mean, you're not looking to bring guys in and redshirt them. You're excited about what you got and who you got, and you kind of move forward with that. But, you know, LSU, the number one class in the country, that's not uncharted territory for them by any stretch of the imagination, but certainly one of the better classes under Coach Chris Simonis. And now the challenge is getting these guys to campus. That's the real challenge when it's all said and done, is it's not who signs, it's who reports, because recruiting rankings don't mean an awful lot if the recruits never make it to campus. And so that's the situation Mississippi State's in now. So now they're signed. And, again, maybe one more. We'll see how things go. We got a guy out there that's still contemplating between us and I think Tennessee. maybe one other school. And I don't know why you'd go to Tennessee when they sign 24 kids, because you can just argue, you know, half those guys aren't going to be on the roster. You know, I don't know Tennessee's roster situation, but to think that they're going to bring in, you know, close to double-digit signees, where they sign three in the portal, you know. And so you start thinking about that, you know, what you got coming back, what you got coming in, how does it all factor in? Roster management is the biggest challenge these days for college baseball coaches. And so excited about the class. And you may have seen, too, that, you know, softball had a really good class, too. One of the better classes under Samantha Ricketts. They went out and signed half a dozen players and really set up strong for 2026. Really set up strong. Hannah Jo Sullivan's a part of that thing, too, and did a commitment story on her. And so Ricketts kind of starting to stack some classes together, too. And then, you know, our softball, our soccer team goes out and signs eight players, too. And our recruiting profile, you know, just getting bigger and bigger by the day. That's a big part of things, you know. That's an exceptional part of things is, you know, when you recruit well, you play well. And then when you take those players and develop them and you do some things that are historic, well, it just kind of opens some recruiting doors for you that maybe previously were closed. And, again, that's the important aspect of it. So that's a nice segue into our final segment of the show. Let's thank our friends at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Love those folks. And I'll be there in a few weeks. Can't wait. Going to have everybody together under one roof. You should organize something like that for your friends or your family. A lot of room for everybody to spread out. Five bedrooms, two baths, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, that huge back porch area, and, of course, the fire pit. It's starting to get cooler. We can't wait. We're going to make s'mores, right? We're going to sit around out there and play some games and just have everybody together. And I don't even know that I want Dana to cook. I think we'll just DoorDash some food. So, we'll, you know, maybe we'll keep the kitchen clean. But the reality of it is I just can't wait to have everybody together. Togetherness is a great thing. And the longer you live, the more you appreciate, you know, those times spent with the people you love the most, just kind of doing nothing. You know, maybe it's a work trip for you. Maybe you got a big work group you bring into town to work around the Golden Triangle. Rather than go out there and get five hotel rooms, take advantage of the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, how do you want, you know more about it? Just Google it. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and you will pull up their Facebook page, and you can peruse through all of the amenities that are available to you and your guest when you book a stay at Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, after you Google, some booking options are going to come up. You can go Airbnb, you can go VRBO. If you want to save some money, though, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. And again, just by listening to the show, you're saving some money at the premier place to stay in the Golden Triangle, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Be sure and check it out today. All right, Saturday is going to be a busy day. As I mentioned, I will be at Mern & Company tomorrow, 2 to 5. And then we got to go cover a high school football game. Going to go see Kamario Taylor in Noxubee County take on Jeff Davis County. And then not just Jeff personally, but and then we're going to head down to Jackson for that book signing at Lemuria. And again, that's 1 to 2 on Saturday in Jackson, Lemuria. If you can't make it, phone in your orders and we'll get you taken care of. And you can come by and pick it up at a more opportune time. But if you need personalization outside of going out of the website, that's the way to go. If you live out of state, go to dutynoblebook.com and you can get those personalized. But nevertheless, I got a hustle back for a soccer game. We take on the Southern Jaguars and saw some pictures earlier today and really excited about, you know, what we're doing. You know, Mississippi State does a great job hosting sporting events. But let's take a look at the Jaguars here. Again, this is, you know, a game that Mississippi State should be able to handle. As I mentioned earlier in the week, you know, 15 goals on the year for Southern, just 15. And that's in 20 games. And remember, they had the game against Alcorn. It was canceled. So 9-9-2 in a regular season and 5-1-2 in SWAC play. But just 15 goals on the year. Scoring, not a strong suit for the Jaguars. They have 145 shots total. They've given up 295. So this should be a game that we can get some separation and then maybe play some younger players. You know, we've had some injuries here as of late, too. Lost a couple of very important players in the last couple of weeks. And so we really don't want to have to absorb any more health concerns. So we want to, you know, get our ladies out of there healthy. You know, shots on goal, we talked about that. 78 of 145 for Southern have been on target. For the opponents, 142 of 295. So right around 50%, you know, for both. I guess Southern is a little bit ahead. But you know, when you're giving up twice as many shots on goal, the chances of you winning are traditionally not very good. 116 saves for the Jags and just 63 for their opponents. But when you don't put it on frame, it's difficult. Southern's a team, too, that's been hurt by fouls, whistled for fouls 197 times. They've only attempted 49 corner kicks. They've allowed 89. They've allowed 4 PKs, and 2 of them were successful. And just one, that's them offensively, and just 1 for their opponents. And you would think a team that fouls that often would have more. Gifty Tor, number 18, is started in 18 of 20 games and played significant minutes for the Jaguar side. You begin to kind of work through this. Just 4 goals. And again, this is a team that hadn't scored a lot of goals this year, just 15, and 4 of them from one player. And then Ayanna Bailey Williams has 3. Only 3 players on the Southern roster have more than 1 goal on the year, and the rest of it's just kind of spread out fairly evenly. But it has not been a great year, but I'm sure they're thrilled to be in the tournament as you kind of break this thing down. They've played a couple different goalkeepers, but it's Sydney Bellamy who does most of the keeping, all but 10 minutes of action. So 18-20 played this year, 1,820 minutes, and Sydney Bellamy has been in the goal 1,809 of those minutes. 26 goals against, 113 saves. You know, we'll see how things go. But 294 shots faced. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. When we get into conference play here, and just kind of looking at their offensive numbers here too, you know, 9 goals in conference play of the 15. And, you know, so against out of conference competition, just the 6. And as I mentioned, they did play Ole Miss earlier this year. And I don't know if I've mentioned it on the show this year, but Ole Miss did not win a game in Southeastern Conference play. And so if they were able to get a 4-0 victory over Southern, you got to like State's chances. But to give the Jaguars credit, they have played better as of late and really in their conference have played much better and just kind of, you know, found light in a bottle down the stretch and won the last 4 games. Of course, the upset of number 2 seed Grambling State pushed them through to the final. They win that game on PKs 6-5, you know. So that's always, you know, rather interesting. And what I think, too, is like anytime that you see these Southern teams, you begin to wonder, you know, like, hey, you know, we play them in baseball. We play them in basketball from time to time. But you're kind of looking ahead here at our history. You know, this will be a an inaugural meeting between the Bulldogs and the Jags on the soccer pitch. So another historic thing. I want to remind you guys, too, if you hadn't done so, go to dirtynumberbook.com. You can order your books. All my sports titles are there. But you know, before we get out of here, I want to reiterate something because I don't think that some of our fans get this. And we've talked about the house settlement. So this is going to be an annual expense kind of moving forward. That's right. It's not a one-time payout. You know, the settlement itself, you got to pay the damages on that. But you know, moving forward, there is a new model for revenue sharing. And it's estimated it's going to cost Mississippi State about $25 million annually. And so when you begin to think about, okay, we need to build this, well, everything kind of gets pushed back a little bit unless we have some private donations. I don't know how wealthy you guys are, but if you've got some cash laying around, I can assure you Mississippi State could use it. And now those deductions, I mean, those donations are tax deductible. It's not a Bulldog Initiative type thing. You can give to the Excellence Fund. But I say that because I think there is, you know, maybe a little bit of blissful ignorance about this. You know, I'm not here to carry water for anybody. But I also understand this, that, you know, I have been in business my entire life, and many of you have as well. And when you start seeing budget cuts, and there will be budget cuts at Mississippi State and around the conference and around the country, you know, you've had some people at times that maybe have lived a little high on the hog. Things are going to change. And there may be some people that aren't here anymore. You know, I mean, that's just the way life works. You know, you think about how many people it takes to kind of run the circus. You know, and so if you have some people that perhaps are not essential, you could see some changes. You know, and I'm not trying to, raise the alarm here or suggest that there's going to be, you know, massive cuts. I don't expect that. But, you know, we can't continue to do business as we've done business and expect to get the same return. And right now, some would argue, you know, Steve, we're not getting much return on our investment into football. That doesn't mean we should cut back on football. Football takes care of everything else. We have to take care of football, right? And there will be some budget cuts there. But there are a lot of fixed expenses that go along with running a Southeastern Conference football program, you know. And when Jeff Lebby got here, I mean, we did a lot of things, you know, to kind of improve the day-to-day experience for our student-athletes. And, you know, maybe we went a little bit overboard. Who knows? You know, that's for somebody else to judge. But, you know, we did a lot of things just to kind of, hey, Jeff, what do you need? You know, do you think to be successful? And so we went out and made those things happen, you know. But, you know, getting some word around the conference that there's some people out there, especially in non-revenue producing sports, that are seeing their budget change a lot. And I'm told, you know, for most people, it's not, you know, life or game changing. For some people, it could be. And so when you think about that aspect of it, you know, when you're kind of, and you hate to use the phrase, you're kind of trimming the fat, but that's kind of where we are. You know, I mean, it's like you begin to think about, oh, how many people do we need to bring on the road, you know, to facilitate a football game? Well, I mean, you know, the more the merrier, right? And also, too, the more expensive. And so that's an aspect you got to think about. I mean, how many people do we need to bring in for baseball? You know, that's a weekend event, right? You go on the road. I mean, how many people should go on the university's dime? And that's one of those decisions that Zach Selmer, those guys have to make. It's like, okay, hey, we can allocate X number of $100 or X number of $1,000 for travel. And that means some people may have to bunk together, right? Maybe have roommates. And that's how it used to be, you know. And then eventually, you know, we begin to have all these, you know, windfalls from the SEC. And all of a sudden, everybody got their own room. So that's part of the deal. And so, you know, when I sat down with Zach Selman, he mentioned, you know, maybe 2028 before we have a football-only IPF. And, you know, when Mike Leach was here, he was like, hey, I don't need a new IPF. I'm not going to use the one we have. So, no, I don't need a new one. Now, I think we do need a new one, and I think it's probably something we should have done anyway, just because of the fact that recruits see these things. They want to make sure that you're committed to football. And that was one thing that Dan Mullen used to say, is that there were a lot of people that came to Mississippi State, and they were pleasantly surprised by our facilities. And a lot of that is this ESPN TV money deal. You know, we were able to kind of change some things and really change the perception of Mississippi State. And, you know, one of the things that I commend Zach Selman and his team for is the SEAL Center has never looked better. You walk down those hallways, it looks like a big-time football environment. It does. You know, we moved in and we got comfortable. And we didn't really detail it out. And that was like, hey, that's our plan. And then next thing you know, we make a change in the athletic department. And then next thing you know, we've made a couple changes. You know, when Leach got there, we kind of started detailing things out a little bit more. We have kind of completed that now. It looks completely different, and it's a lot more functional. Many of you remember we used to go into the dining hall there at SEAL. You know, we introduced some coaches there at SEAL, and in the multi-purpose room. Well, you know, now that room is a little more constricted because we've added some nutrition stations in there. There's a little less room to kind of move and operate around, so it's not necessarily conducive for us to bring the public in for those events. And so again, we've done some things that maybe you guys haven't seen to kind of improve the quality of life of our student athletes, and that has to come first. Now, that understood, we got to take care of our fans too. You know, we can't have, you know, a lot of these situations where, you know, we're not giving people a reason to come to football games. We're not giving people a reason to come to Humphrey Coliseum. And I think what we do pregame of basketball is tremendous. I think it's really, really nice. We've done a really good job with the things there. And I commend Zach Selman, of course, for, hey, once we got settled with the renovations, we kind of figured out there were some things we could do to make some of that space a little more functional. And much of it to kind of, you know, create some revenue, you know, and that's the name of the game these days. And so I share that kind of as a parting shot because it is very, very important to understand that this house settlement thing is not a one-time payment, that we're just going to write a check for $25 million and then go back to doing what we've always done. That's just not the case, you know. And as I mentioned recently, I was discussing this with a member on our administrative team. And I said, you know, it used to be we would just say, well, you know, one of the five families will take care of this. You know, George Bryan will write a check, or Mickey Holloman will write a check, and, you know, people will just take care of this stuff. Well, you know, five families is not enough anymore. It's not. No matter how generous they are, how, you know, financially well off they are, it's not enough anymore. There's so much we have to keep up with. And, you know, I think about, you know, the soccer program, right? I mean, you see what's happening, and now all of a sudden people have kind of got excited about this, and it's like, hey, we don't need to lose Coach Armstrong. And I agree. And he loves it here. His wife loves it here. The quality of life in Starkville is tremendous. But now he is the coach of the year in the SEC, and I'm sure that he'll get some votes for national coach of the year as well. You don't think somebody's going to come calling? You know, the MSU soccer complex hasn't been named. You know, so maybe you begin to think about that aspect of it. Maybe you're a person that, you know, hey, you know, we've got some money we've been sitting on for a while, and we, you know, maybe it's a naming rights opportunity. You know, maybe you reach out and say, hey, you know, my grandfather played at Mississippi State. You know, my grandmother played at Mississippi State. You know, my family has loved Mississippi State forever. So we'd like to give a gift and maybe commemorate our family member for the naming rights to that soccer stadium. You know, not saying all that money's got to go to soccer, but it might be some incentive for you to give. How cool would it be to bring your kids and say, hey, you know, let's go up there and see Grandpa's place. You know, those are things that I think about. There are opportunities for you to get involved. And, you know, maybe you don't have the financial resources to do something like that, to get your name on a building. But you do have an opportunity to kind of be a part of something special at Mississippi State. And I can tell you, Mississippi State needs us. And I commend Brandon Walker, my friend. He is going to be bringing back the More Cowbell podcast, and he does a million things up there, you know, and so I don't know how often he'll do it, but he says that every dime that he makes off that podcast will go directly to Mississippi State's Excellence Fund to help an NIL. And some people would say, oh, you know, it's kind of silly or whatever. The way that I look at it, I appreciate Brandon stepping up and kind of taking a leadership role here and saying, you know, hey, I'm a Mississippi State guy. And this is an opportunity for me to contribute some funds directly to Mississippi State to help Mississippi State athletics. So it's good to see Brandon kind of giving back. And I don't know what your feelings are about Brandon, but I love Brandon. Brandon's my friend. He used to work on the beat with us and worked at the Columbus Dispatch. And we have maintained a relationship ever since. We don't get to talk as often as we used to. We're both busy guys. But I commend him. And, you know, maybe there's a situation where you can do something similar. You know, I mean, I'm not saying we got to go have a bake sale. It's just going to be, you know, something that, you know, it's just a drop in the bucket. But the bucket's getting bigger, and there's more and more ladles pulling out of it. So anything that we can get, you know, we're happy to get. So bully for Brandon for jumping out there and saying, hey, here's what we're going to do. And, of course, His podcast would be a lot different than mine, and certainly different from Brian and Robbie's. But I think it's a good thing. And so that's one of the things that you begin to consider. You know, when you got Brandon, the guy that now has a national platform, is a Mississippi State guy that's kind of taken the brand national, and now he's giving back to Mississippi State. And so that's something to consider as you kind of move forward too, because it is going to take all of us. We are living in historic times right now, and the challenges that are facing Mississippi State are somewhat historic. They truly are. You know, and I wrote about a lot of things in The Dude, but I don't think that anybody has ever encountered an evolving landscape quite like what Zach Selman and his team are dealing with now. And so they need your support, you know. And listen, it's okay to be critical sometimes, right, because it all comes from a good place. But I don't know where the criticism is going to get us if we don't communicate it in the right methodology. Does that make sense? And so if you got ideas, reach out, let them know. But I would encourage you to get involved and stay involved. That's it for today. We'll be back on Monday, and of course, open date for the Bulldogs. And so hopefully we're recapping a very chaotic weekend in college football. And hopefully we're celebrating a Bulldog victory in soccer and women's basketball and men's basketball come Sunday. And again, we encourage you to get out and support those teams. Think about that. I mean, you know, you can come to Starkville this weekend and enjoy the soccer game Saturday, and then either head up to South Haven for the men's game or stay right here in Starkville for the women's game. And so it can still be a Mississippi State weekend for you, even though it's not a football weekend. Ran into Julie Bishop the other day. We love Julie and Ken. Love that whole family. We probably love Julie the most. Saw Julie, and she was so excited to come to the soccer selection show. And she goes, I kind of love coming up here when it's not a game, because I can get in all my favorite stores and restaurants and things like that a little easier. And so maybe consider that this weekend if you've got a place here in Starkville. Are you used to coming up here? You've got some things to come up here and celebrate this weekend. So maybe consider coming being part of all of our sporting events in Starkville and in South Haven this weekend. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.